And good morning. It is Monday, July 2nd. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. You probably know that. And we have an extra special morning interview this morning with Kim Keaton. He's a spokesperson for Reclaim Idaho and Vote Yes for Medicaid Expansion. And we'll get to that in a moment. I just thought we could say that currently it's 52 degrees out from the National Weather Service. We have an 80% chance of showers this morning and a high today of 62, just so you know what's coming up on the weather. Other than that, let's get to the interview. Good morning, Kim Keaton.
Good morning, Susie. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's really nice, you know, sometimes to put in a Monday morning interview since Chris and I won't be here on Wednesday because it's the 4th of July.
Oh, yeah.
So we really wanted to hear about the kind of the second phase of the Reclaim Idaho's initial initiative to get signatures on a ballot, to get Medicaid signatures on a petition, to get Medicaid on the ballot in November. And we're going to get into all of that. But why? Tell us a little bit. Tell us what you want to tell us. Just start out.
Oh, thanks, Susie. And thank you for spending the time with us today. We really appreciate it. And thank KRFY for this time, too. It's a great station to listen to. First of all, the one thing, you're absolutely right. November 7th, the voters will have a chance to vote yes on the Citizen Initiative for Medicaid Expansion. The initiative will cover this gap population. There's 62,000 Idahoans in this gap population. And a lot of people don't quite understand what the gap, health gap coverage means. Well, these are Idahoans that make too much to qualify for Medicaid, but there are not enough money to qualify to benefit for the state healthcare exchange. So that's the gap population. Those are people that work at our restaurants. It can be people that work in the tourist industry. It can be construction workers. But we found this out, and this is really important when we talk about this Medicaid expansion. The Kaiser Family Foundation found that the vast majority of these people in this Medicaid gap are working Idahoans. So, that sometimes gets people think, oh, you're taking Medicaid, that means you don't work. But if you look at the Kaiser Family Foundation, they found that majority of these people are working. It's a key point. But that's where we're at right now.
Well, let's get into it a little bit more. Initially, Reclaim Idaho started up about a year ago or so, maybe a year and a few more months, to address issues that were nonpartisan. And I think that's important because what I think you probably found, and you can tell me if this is true, is during the time that you were getting the signatures on the petition to get this question on the ballot, the vote yes question, you probably found out that it wasn't across the board, right or left, Democrat, Republican. It was people that tell us what that meant.
Well, I think that's a great point. We were just, first of all, Reclaim Idaho had a clear mission, what they initially started for. They wanted a majority of Idahoans would agree upon. And they thought there was three things that Idahoans, regardless of political platforms, would have. They believed in a strong public education. They also wanted to find out and make sure people agreed upon a public lands that could be protected and should remain public. But the last part of that was this: working families should have access to health care. So Reclaim Idaho, that was their mission, those three areas. Reclaim launched this Medicaid expansion ballot. The two people that were the launched this were two Sandpoint students, went to Sandpoint High School. That would be Luke Mayville and Garrett Stritzitz. Garrett's wife, Emily, has joined on, so those are the three leaders of the Reclaim Idaho organization. And now their initiative to work on Medicaid expansion for these 62,000 Idahoans that are in the health coverage gap. The first campaign really kind of started, as you said, last summer. And it was kind of fun to see this. Luke came up to the house. We talked a little bit about, do you think this is feasible in Idaho? We would never know if we didn't try. So he started organizing these great people from the city of Sandpoint to help with the initiative. We quickly found some passionate people. We ended up getting 90 volunteers in Bonner and Boundary County that really saw the need for healthcare, Medicaid expansion. So what we decided at that time, they would get a van. I don't know if you've ever seen their RV, the Medicaid mobile van. They painted it green. We were at their house. And we actually were at Luke Mayville's mom's house when they were prepping this thing to paint it green. They painted that green, and then on both sides of the their RV, they put Medicaid for Idahoans. With that, that's where they started advocating for Medicaid expansion. And they went all over the state. That started last summer. They went to all the counties in the state, and they engaged people. They also are very good at engaging volunteers. They worked with over 1,000 people in the state in this very grassroots effort. We raised minimal amount of dollars to get this done. I worked a little bit on a campaign to raise some money for them, but we were just paying for gas, pizza, the brochures, and the things, the other items that they needed for this drive. And then they found out that most of the people really wanted to see Medicaid expansion, that they engaged. And so last November, they filed the ballot initiative. And the ballot initiative is a citizens' initiative in the state of Idaho. And after it got accepted by, I believe it's a state attorney general, then we went out and got volunteers to sign people up for Medicaid expansion for the right to vote on it. You had to be a registered voter. It's an interesting dilemma in the state of Idaho. The state legislatures have made it difficult to pass citizens' initiatives. So what that means is that when they decided to do this in December and started getting people to sign up for support to put it on the ballot this November, they have to get it. Had to get 6% of 18 voting districts. They had a total of 56,000 people, total registered Idaho voters to get it on the ballot. Well, fortunately, they had some great volunteers. They had 73,000 registered voters in the state of Idaho vote for it, get their names on the petition so we could vote for it. They also received 20 districts with at least 6% of the 6% of the registered voters in those districts that would allow us to vote on it. So that's where we're at right now. We're going to be able to put on the ballot, and we've done a ton of work, and I really want to just say thank you to all the people that have put that time and effort in to see we'll have an opportunity to vote on it now.
It's really quite outstanding. I remember Marilyn Robinson and Luke Mayville came up to the station. Here when the day that they kicked off this campaign at the Panada, and the enthusiasm. But what's really significant, a couple of things you just mentioned, started out with 90 volunteers from Bonner and Boundary County, and now over 1,000 people fairly quickly got behind this. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think people are compassionate about the issues. I think we live in these small communities. Idaho is a very rural state, and we see firsthand with the lack of health care, how it can devastate families. The last thing we want is for a family to have to go to ER when they could have had it taken care of by a primary physician at a much lower level. And that's a tragedy. We feel, you know, and these are the people when we walk in a restaurant, these are the people that may be framing their deck that they want to put on in addition to their house. These are the people in the tourist industry that work in small groups that are in this gap. They're working people. And we've just seen the devastation that's happened, that can happen to that population. The other thing is, Idaho has had years to work on this issue at the state level, and they haven't. And that has been real frustrating. There's been a ton of conversation around this issue. Matter of fact, this last session, the Idaho legislature was working on this issue again. They had kind of some more, they had some innovative ideas. They couldn't even get a vote on it. Really frustrating, you know, the people of Idaho that realize this is a win-win for the state. We'll kind of get into the, kind of the numbers later, but people have a passion about making sure we all have some basic health needs, health care needs.
So you say people have a passion, but this really, in so many ways, it's compassion. It's caring for our neighbors. It's caring for the common good. Because if your neighbor is what I've been hearing, I should say, is reaching out and caring for the neighbors. But it's also, and you kind of alluded to this, a fiscally responsible thing to do. It makes sense financially for the state.
You know, it does make sense. And I do want to point out Benison's strategic group came out, and they're a really well-respected polling group. And they polled Idahoans. We kind of know where we stand on this. It is not a political issue for people in Idaho. It's a grassroots issue. And they found out the majority of independent voters, Democrat voters, and also Republican voters support it. We actually found out 53% of Republican voters will vote for this. So regardless of what you hear on the platform, when you poll these people, they also support it. I think everybody's been touched by some tragedies in these communities or no family members that had to be raised to the ER room in the middle of the night for something that happened a week earlier, a sliver in a finger that got hugely infected. It could have been taken care of at the doctor's office. And I think that's really the compassion we really see in Idaho. There is a fiscal part of it, though, too. And that's where I think people don't understand Medicaid expansion. There'll be this initiative that we're taking forward to expand Medicaid for Idahoans in this gap population. You're going to find out there's going to be people that are going to say, no, it's going to cost Idaho money. No, it's the wrong thing to do. That, you know, we don't have a lot of money. We're a small grassroots organization. We're just getting out there and engaging people. But if you look at and read the Associated Press, when Montana passed their expansion, within 18 months, they saved $30,000. And people go, well, how did that happen? They don't get it. Well, if you look at purely from a fiscal standpoint, we are paying federal dollars to Medicaid. That is going to be redistributed to 33 other states. It's not coming, that federal dollars are not coming back to us. What Idaho does, and what they do a very terrible job at, but thank goodness they do it, they have this catastrophic care the state and counties pick up. So what that does is when these people that go to the ER room that have no insurance, you know, by law, you have to serve them, and thank goodness that's a law throughout the United States. But it's extremely high cost. It's an ineffective and inefficient system put in place, and that costs us dollars. So when you look at the savings in county dollars and state dollars, and you look at the cost of Medicaid expansion for the state of Idaho, Idaho Center for Fiscal Policy found that Medicaid expansion would save the state more than it would cost the state. So you're going to hear a lot of things, but if you're an Idahoan and you're simply paying your taxes, you're going to see a net savings. We could put that in schools. We could put that net savings in roads. We could put that in a lot of areas. But we will save money in the long run.
It's very interesting, some of those numbers. And you mentioned people not going to the ER because they don't, or the emergency room, and that, or going to the emergency room because they didn't go to the doctor the week before. But there's also, when you have insurance, when you have Medicaid insurance, because you're working but you can't afford insurance,
yep,
and you don't qualify for Affordable Care Act, you oftentimes don't get that preventative care where things can be found out early and you can get the care. Or you don't go to the emergency room, you just don't get medical care, and that can be catastrophic also. So what can happen is that preventative care can also take care of bigger costs down the line.
Well, that's really what we want. When people, if we can get this passed November 6th, we can see these 62,000 Idahoans get Medicare, Medicaid insurance. And with that, they can get a primary physician. With that, they get preventive care, but accidents and things do happen. I mean, we're Idahoans, we live in a rural area. We're outdoors, so you can sprain an ankle, you know, on a nice hike. You can do all sorts of things that you're going to need care for. And we want to get it at the lowest and most effective manner, more efficient. Most of us have some sort of health insurance in the state of Idaho. And I'm very fortunate to have been in education and had that my entire life. And so I've got a primary physician I can get a hold of. But I'm worried about these others that can't. And I want to make sure we cover them also. They also, you know, if you look at it, hospitals, doctors are supporting this initiative. They're in the line of fire, so to speak, of what's happening in Idaho. They see it on a daily basis. So we're getting support from that industry too.
So we're talking about the economic make sense, the economic aspects of getting this ballot initiative passed November 6th with a yes vote. There's also I did read up on this a little bit, and there's jobs that will happen when people have good health care, when every Idahoan is covered by some kind of insurance and they go for their preventative checkups. There will be, from what I read and from what I've seen in Montana, an increase in jobs in the medical profession.
And that's, Susie, that's a great point. You know, there is going to be growth in the economy, and it's going to be the growth through the big service industry of Medicaid with using their primary care physicians, using hospitals. The state of Idaho anticipates the first year, I think the Robert Woods Johnson Foundation found that with Medicaid expansion, $600 million federal dollars will come back to Idaho during the first year alone. So that's a stimulus in and of itself. Federal dollars will actually start coming in with Medicaid expansion, and that will create, again, more jobs for Idahoans. We're not just trying to create jobs for job's sake. We're trying to create jobs to cover these 62,000 people that now do not have insurance.
I sometimes start thinking about how many years has it been that Idaho did not take the Medicaid expansion, and how much we could have saved in Idaho, and where that money could have gone, such as education, right? But so we've talked a little bit about who it's going to help, why it's important. We also kind of touched on the fact that this is not a political thing. I'm wondering if you have any statistics on those 72,000 signatures or 74,000 signatures that you did get for this, 73 actually, for this on the petition. How many of those folks actually did not have insurance, fell into the gap?
You know, that is a question I would have to ask Luke, you know, but the 73,000 people, really, their primary goal and the primary goal of that became reclaims first initiative, this Medicaid expansion, they wanted this to see it voted on. They've seen an inactive legislation that was we're not going to take this issue on. And so it was more that we want the citizens to vote on this. And that was the primary thing. That's that we engaged literally tens of thousands of people in 44 counties in this in our state. And we only have 44 counties, by the way, just in case our listeners don't know that. And it really was. They wanted to, a vote on it. They're tired of hearing, let's talk the talk, but not walk the walk at the legislative level. So they really want to make sure that we have an opportunity to vote on this. And I think that was the nexus of the reason people were signing. We didn't even poll them to say, are you going to vote yes or no for it? We wanted an informed citizenship, this huge grassroots effort in this state, to make sure we all have the right. And that's what's going to happen November 6th. And hopefully they'll vote yes, mm-hmm. for Medicaid expansion.
One of the things I heard, actually, Linda Larson, I'll just throw her name out, very valuable volunteer here in our county, said, it makes sense and it's kind, so why not? That was kind of a little slogan I carried in my head when I was thinking about this. But one of the other things that we've talked about is this grassroots initiative. This was big. This was a little seed full of, you know, kindness and goodness, but it was a big job. And you had that green van. It actually broke down somewhere. I saw it on the back of a trailer.
Oh, yeah.
But what did it really take? How in the world did the initial initiative, the three people, come up with a way to actually grassroots out into Idaho? That's a lot of work.
And to be also learn how to become a community organizer. I mean, really, in a lot of ways, how do you organize people? I mean, I'm always amazed. You know, these people understand social media. I'm of the age where social media wasn't present when I was at their age, and they're very good at that. And so people knew they were coming to town, and they actually went and. It was a face to face meeting. They were not advertising in the papers or those things. They just didn't have the money to do it, but they did have the tools to find people. They had the tools, social tools, to find people, media tools in different communities, and then people just started showing up. I don't know who doesn't know somebody that we've either lost or have had some sort of severe health issue, and they may have lost their house, other things. I don't think you're hard pressed not to hear hundreds of stories, and they heard hundreds of stories. So people chose to come out. It is a grassroots. It meant something to a lot of the community in Idahoan communities that we went to. So that's an interesting thing. And then they found, and I'm just going to say, Linda Larson and all these people that are just passionate. They're just lovely just to sit and spend some time with that. I think that's a great joy that I've had. My wife has actually worked on the initiative too. We've collected signatures, and it's fun talking to people about that. But you know, you got to go door to door, and it really was. Once you get the community, they get these 1,000, over 1,000 volunteers to do it on their own time and go door to door and talk to people. You'll be surprised. People didn't realize the gap existed, and they didn't realize how we could solve that issue.
Do you think this amazing process that the people who started this have experience, as you say, over 1,000 volunteers now all over the state in 44 counties. Do you think this will lend itself to other statewide issues in the future? What did Reclaim Idaho learn?
Well, I think, I'm going to say Luke and I talked, I think, last November of last year, and he said he wanted to give this a try. What did I think? And to be honest with you, I was very skeptical. But that being said, if you don't try, you'll never know. And I think we found out you can. If you have something that most Idahoans agree upon, and you're willing to go door to door and get those issues out there and make sure they're real clear what we're talking about, I think it's a great tool for the state of Idaho. I mean, it's a tool we see in Washington constantly. I don't know how many initiatives I've read in the state of Washington over the years. And I know the legislature, again, tried to limit these. I don't remember if you remember the Luna laws. That was the last time people were pretty upset about those Luna laws and pretty passionate. The same with this Medicaid expansion. But after the Luna laws, they changed the law, how to get a citizen's initiative on the ballot. And so I think that scared people off.
So they made it harder.
They made it more difficult. Again, you have to get 6% of Idahoans. You have to get 6% of 18 districts. And so you have to be spread out. Most people think that costs dollars. I mean, I think Luke was told by some people that had done this in the prior, it's $4 or $5 million investment. We've literally spent, we'll talk about what we need this summer for the tour, but we just literally spent thousands of dollars. We haven't spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we don't have any big donors or backers. We just get these small donations from people to pay for gas and those sorts of things. So it can happen. I think it's a wonderful thing that you don't need a lot of dollars. You just need an issue that people are passionate about.
So that's a big learning curve for other states. Could even look at this as an example, as a model. Because it really worked to get those signatures on the petition.
And I want to credit Luke, Emily, and Garrett Stritzik for their work, too, because they're passionate people. Garrett's going to med school. He's taking time off. Luke is, lives in New York, but he's born and raised in Idaho. He has such a passion. I think they want to move here. He's made those issues. I'm not certain if him and his wife have agreed yet, but I know they both have a passion for Idaho. So you need people like that to start the drive. And so that was the vision. They had a clear vision and the mission. We've talked about the three areas that they thought people were going to be in common about. But the goal really centered around Medicaid expansion. Once they were out listening to people, that's what they heard from people. So also be a good listener. And I think all three of those people are.
So the goal now is to get a yes vote from everybody in the state on the November general election, during the November general election. And that is November 6th. Coming up, believe me, it comes up fast. So what's the next step? What's going to happen through the summer? What is the campaign now to get out that yes vote, to get people registered, to get people aware of it? And how much do they feel they have to get? What percentage?
Well, that's a great question. The first goal's been met. We've got it on the ballot. So everybody needs to know that November 6th, they can vote yes on Medicaid expansion. A great opportunity for people to support these 62 working Idahoans that are in that gap. So the first goal's been met. The second goal is to get it passed. So what's that going to take? Again, they have a drive. They're kicking off a drive. And they're going to 44 counties this summer. They're going to be in Sandpoint July 5th at 9 o'clock at Farman Park. But what I really would like people to go to is go to the reclaimidaho.org site. We think we're going to need about $20,000 on this tour of Idaho. That will pay for things such as pizza, again, flyers, gas. They now have a Medicaid Express van. The RV, the Medicaid RV, wasn't very reliable at times, and it's a kind of a gas hog, so they have something else, but... So they're going to engage people. They're going to reorganize these volunteers they have, and that's going to cost dollars. And so we really need the the support. And it's a fun thing, actually, when you go to their site. I don't know if you've done it. It's kind of like a wedding register. You can say, oh, I'm going to buy pizza for, you know, this for the volunteers in Emmett, Idaho, you know, or I'm going to, you know, pay for gas between Coeur d'Alene and Moscow. I mean, it really is an interesting way to do it. I love it.
I'm laughing because I'm just imagining all they eat is pizza. I think someone could sponsor a salad.
They should. Yeah, kind of something healthy. They didn't seem to gain any weight. I don't know if they ate much. They seemed like they were on the run the entire summer. And it looks like it's going to be the same.
All that door to door. And really, you get to know your neighbors that way. And maybe Idaho will have a little bit more understanding of each other. But the website you mentioned was reclaimidaho.org. And I was just thinking about the 73,000 people that signed the petition. Just think if everyone gave $1.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
No. Or $5. What's $5? That's a latte. Yeah. That's the way I always look at giving, you know. And they could use a little bit of support, but they're also having a kickoff Thursday, July 5th at Farman Park, 9 o'clock. And what will happen there? Where are they going from there?
Well, that's a fun part. And by the way, I checked the weather for Thursday. It's going to be 81, it's going to be the high. So, you know, after the 4th, get up at 9 o'clock, head to Farman Park, and you're going to have a beautiful day in front of you, too. You know, after that, they're going to take the campaign. They're going to go from all the way to Boise, and they're going to submit all 73,000 signatures to the state of Idaho for final verification. So that'll be fun to do. You know, these kids were sharp. They talked to registered voters. They made sure people were registered voters. A lot of initiative. They just, you know, your dad, you don't even have to be from Idaho. You know, they just, oh, we'll sign this. And, you know, a lot of petition drives. The volunteers were very well educated. They understood they needed to talk to registered Idaho voters. And that's who signed these petitions. So they didn't have a whole lot kicked out. They were very careful. And that was really not only educating people about what the initiative was, the second part is making sure you had qualified Idahoans sign it.
So once a petition was turned in to your team leader, your local leader, they took it over to the county election office to get verified or certified.
Exactly.
So what they're taking down to Boise, these seven, I imagine this van full of boxes of petitions or whatever it looks like, the certified number from the county, that then goes to the state to be basically documented and then say, yes, this will be on the ballot.
Exactly. That's how it works. With that, and it's the Secretary of State does the final approval. That's just the right now. It's just the administrative job that's been done. The work's been done. We just need to get that part of the mechanics finished. But during that time, they're also, again, engaging people. Now we want to talk to people about voting yes. Not just the right to vote. Now it is, we are going to vote. And why would you do yes? And again, these people in the healthcare gap, there are working people, majority of them are working people. If you can just go on the Kaiser Family Foundation, you can also find out that if you go to another site, Idaho Center for Fiscal Policy, that this is actually going to save the state money. You're going to hear, oh, we're going to be really spending more money. Not our money is going to come back to the state that we're paying, but the net to the state and counties is, let's hope it's like Montana, millions. Montana, 18 months, smaller state than we are, less populated state than we are, was 30,000. And the third effect really is jobs. We'll create more jobs in the medical profession and field.
And probably the biggest effect is, you've probably mentioned this, is when folks are well cared for, we're all happy because they're our neighbors. You know, these are the people of Idaho. It gives us a sense of being a caring state, I think.
You know, I've talked to people that's been in the gap, and they are your neighbors. They may be you may be engaged them today as you listen to this program or podcast this program later on. They may be people that you run in today, people that you say hi to, every day, and you had no idea they're in the gap. They don't say, oh, I'm in the Medicaid gap. But we do know 62,000 Idahoans, most of them working, are in that gap. And they're at risk at losing a lot. And all we're asking is, let's cover it. It's fiscally responsible. It creates jobs. But it's a compassionate thing to do.
So two things immediately, close to this date, on the 5th of July at Farman Park. You can go down and find out more about this idea and this issue. 9 o'clock, Farman Park on Thursday.
Yeah, July we'd love 5th. To see everybody there. Good turnout. And
In November, on the 6th of November, which is a Tuesday, vote. And if you're not registered,
register to vote. The other thing is, we still like people to volunteer. We love this grassroots effort. So if you've just heard about it and you want to get involved, there's plenty of work to be done. Again, it will be kind of knocking on door to door. We're taking it directly to the people. It's not going to be big TV ads. It's not going to be, you'll probably see through TV ads. I'm sure they'll be funding against it. We won't be doing that. We won't be big newspaper ads. We're just door to door talking to people about the issues. And so that can be a little intimidating. My wife did it. She never thought she would. But, she did it with our neighbors in our neighborhood. And they were all so supportive. It's people she knows. And they trust her. And that's really, when you come up with the facts, people just go, well, why wouldn't we vote yes?
Sounds good. ReclaimIdaho.org, more information. You could probably find your neighborhood leader or your county leader there, too. I've been talking with Kim Keaton from Reclaim Idaho, and really now the campaign is called Vote Yes for Medicaid Expansion.
And, exactly.
Again, Kim Keaton. This interview will be podcasted on our website, KRFY.org, later on. And you can go to that and rehear it or hear it for the first time or direct your friends or neighbors. Anyone who wants to know more, here's the information for you. Again, Kim Keaton, thanks for coming in this morning.
Susie, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. And I also want to thank all the volunteers that's worked in the state on this initiative. I admire their work and their fortitude.
Exactly. Thank you so much. We're going to go back to Otto's Eclectic Mix for the rest of the day. We hope you have a beautiful day. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Here's Dolly Parton. Put a little love in your heart. Have a good day.